second flipping.
In our world today, there is so much confusion about what is true. Countless voices guarantee they have the answers. Who should we listen to and believe? 2 Peter was written to first century Christians who also faced a similar culture of falsehood. Peter wrote to encourage the church to live in the truth of their salvation despite the numerous heresies around them. We too need to be on guard against false teachers and be established in the Word of God. More than ever, we must grow in the true knowledge found only in Jesus Christ.
Hello. We're continuing our study through the book of 2 Peter. And if you remember, the first week Josh gave us a great intro. And what I took away from his message was how he differentiated between the Greek words knowledge. There's two different meanings. One was a general knowledge. One was an intimate knowledge. And God wants us to have an intimate knowledge with him, to know him personally. And last week, Brian, he talked about, actually, he reminded us that we needed to be reminded to trust the Bible. So I'm going to remind you again tonight, we need to trust the Bible. Amen. I'm going to start 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to teach next week as well, because really the whole chapter is about pretty much the same thing. And we're going to break it down, and I'll teach this week and next week also. And what we see in 2 Peter chapter 2 is that Peter, well, you know, there's no other way to say it. He just seems like he's kind of, he's fit to be tied. He's upset. He's not very happy. You'll kind of pick up he's got an attitude about something, and what that something is there's false teachers infiltrating his church, and he's warning the church. He has some strong warnings. He has some intense verbal attacks against these false teachers who are bringing heresy, and they are causing problems and disturbing people within the church. So he's not very happy about it, and you're going to see that. In this section today, we're going to look at how to recognize false teachers, okay? Next week, we're going to talk about how to avoid them. But this week, we're going to condense it down because Peter shares a lot of different ways, a lot of different things, and we could talk about a lot of practical things that we have in our world today on how to recognize false teachers. We'll do that, and then next week we'll talk about how to avoid them. I want to give a shout out to Skip Heitzig. You probably know him. A lot of you listen to him. He did a great message. I mean, I read lots of commentaries, sermons, articles. I watched lots of messages. This one in particular struck me, and I wanted to give him credit because it gave me some big ideas, and I used a couple of his examples. And the reason I did that is because the first example he uses in his excellent teaching in 2014 happened to me. And it was so ironic, I was listening to it, and I said, that happened to me. And it was such a good illustration. And really what it was he was in Israel, and he bought a fake watch at one of the stands. Actually, over the stands, he said that it actually said, fake watches. They weren't even trying to hide it. Now, my first trip to Israel in 1998 with my wife, this is what you usually get when you go to Israel. You get one of these little cups. Anybody got one of these? Ever gone to Israel and get one of these? This is what you usually get. And I thought, I need something more than an olive wood cup. This is nice. I thought, I'm going to get something significant. So we were shopping at the Lama Brothers in Bethlehem, and I decided to go all out and get a watch. Now, they were fake watches. They weren't advertised as fake watches, but they clearly were. Here's the thing about fake watches, if they're done right, you can take a real watch, the real deal, and the fake watch, and you can give it to experts, and just looking on the outside, it's hard to tell. Even experts will have difficulty telling whether it's fake or not, because it glistens, it looks good, it's shiny. I mean, it looks like the real deal. But you know how experts find out if it's real or not? You know what they do? They open it up, and they look at the guts. They look at what it really is, and they compare it to the real thing and say, you know what? No, no, no. That this is fake. This is a knockoff. This is cheap. This is going to break. This is not very valuable. And the same thing is true of false teachers, people who claim to be teachers of God, teachers of the Bible, yet they're bringing a false message. And on the outside, they can look so good and so glistening and so appealing until you open it up and look at what they're really teaching and compare it to the real deal. Then they're exposed. You know, my watch, I had to send it back. It actually cost me because it broke. And if you follow false teachers instead of the Bible, it could break you. It could have consequences in your life. It will for them, but certainly may for you as well. So here's my message. Danger. False teachers. Next week, we'll talk about warning signs. Again, how to avoid them. This week, we'll look at how to deal with them. So we're going to look at how two keys really to dealing or recognizing false teachers. We're going to look at how to identify. We'll look at four ways to identify false teachers that Peter will lead us through. And then we'll look quickly at the fate, what happens to them. We need to recognize, we need to be able to say this is a false teacher before we can understand their fate and how and be able to avoid them. So this is an important thing to identify first of all. So let's just jump right in. We got four ways that we're going to see to identify false teachers, four characteristics. How do we identify? And let's read the first three verses of 2 Peter chapter 2. Starting in verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Again, Peter's not messing around. He's not happy with these guys right here. And a couple of things I'll just point to as before we get into the four different ways to identify false teachers. You see, Peter says, listen, these false teachers, this is nothing new. In other words, they've been around. He says there were false prophets in the past. He's saying there are prophets right now, and there will be false teachers in the future. This is nothing new. Do we have false teachers in our world today? Absolutely we do. False teachers have been, they are now, and they will be in the future, but we need to be aware of them. We need to be careful. They're dangerous. Go on. Verse 2 and 3. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they've made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. There's consequences for false teachers. So, four ways that we can identify. Number one, again, I'm condensing some of these things that we're going to see in these verses. They teach a false truth. I put truth in parentheses because it's not, or in quotes, because it's not true. It's a false truth. Peter calls them heresies. What's a heresy? Well, here's a couple definitions of what a heresy. It seems like a biblical word, maybe a word you don't use that often. Heresy, any belief, opinion, or theory that is strongly at variance, it varies greatly, with established beliefs or customs. That's a heresy. A shorter definition would be false opinions that destroy true godliness. These false teachers, false prophets will come and they'll teach things that aren't true. It's really their opinion. Instead of teaching what's true from the Bible, they're teaching their opinion of something that's not biblical and will actually be destructive in their lives and other people's lives. What's an example of that? Well, I thought about this. We could give lots of examples. We just don't have time to do that. And I don't think it's helpful necessarily. We'll get to that in a second. But one false teaching that is prevalent today is this idea, and I'll kind of summarize it in this teaching. God wants you to be happy. In other words, it's God's will that you're happy, which means if you're not happy, you're out of God's will. Something's wrong. So that could come in the form of just your circumstance, that you're circumstantially happy. You have a lightheartedness because of your circumstances, or it could be your wealth. So it's happiness, wealth. It could be a number of things. And the world and false teachers will say, yeah, that's it. Power, prestige, money, happiness. It's God's will. And it's not that God, don't hear that God doesn't want you to be happy. Of course, God's a good father and he wants us to enjoy life. There's no doubt about it. But if it's God's will that you're happy, then why did Jesus say, in the world you will have tribulation? If it's God's will that you never get sick, then why have all the godly people in the world that have gone before us died? Why is it? Why do godly people get sick and die? There's people in our church that are in hospital on death's door right now, today. Why is that? I thought God wanted everybody to be happy. I've had parents tell me, it's like this. This didn't really happen, but this is kind of the example. Hey, right over there, standing next to my daughter, that's her new fiance. He's a serial killer, but as long as my daughter is happy, I've had that happen so many, as long as they're happy, then that's all that matters, because it's clearly God's will that you're happy. I had a guy tell me a few weeks ago that he was probably going to get a divorce. And I said, well, why are you, I didn't know him very well, why are you going to get a divorce? Well, I think God wants me to be happy. And I said, well, is your wife the devil incarnate? Is she really that bad? He goes, no, she's fine. I just, I'm not sure if she's the one, because we didn't date that long. I think I could be happier. And I gave him some "Thus saith the Lord" right there. I appealed to his appeal to honor. Did you make a commitment to this woman? Did you say something like this, till death do us part, in sickness and in health? Did you say something like that when you got? Yeah, I said, well, I'm going to appeal to you, young man. Be a man of honor. It's not about you being happy. It's about you keeping your commitment to that woman. And he said, no one has told me that. Everyone else is just saying, yeah, go. If you're not happy, get out of it. It's a false doctrine. You know, there's actually a old quarterback, Joe Theismann. Some of you oldie goldies remember Joe, pro bowler, good quarterback, bad husband. He cheated on his wife. His wife caught him when she said, why? Then he filed for divorce. Why are you going to divorce me? He said, because God wants Joe Theismann to be happy. That's what he told his wife. You know what? There are lots and lots of false teachings out there. This one encapsulates a lot. We could go on and on, but let's continue. False prophets, false teachers, for the sake of this study, we're gonna consider them basically the same thing. They're a person who spreads unbiblical teachings or messages while claiming to speak for God in ways that lead others into error and ruin. We need to be aware of them. And, all you have to do is look at social media. There are false teachings everywhere. It's not just religious teachings. I mean, there's political teachings that some of you have taken as religion and brought into the church. And it's a false teaching. To say God would vote for so-and-so, that's a false teaching, because that's not what the Bible says. We need to be careful. You say, well, how do I know if it's a false teaching or not? Again, we could list them all and go through them all, but that would be unproductive. Here's a good example. I've used this before, but if you're going to find a counterfeit $20 bill, how do you find that? How do experts determine whether there's a counterfeit or not? Do they take every single counterfeit that they've ever caught and they make copies and they send it around to all law enforcement and they study these? Well, there may be some of that, but that's not how they catch counterfeits. What they do is they study the real thing. And they know this so well. Look at that. They know that so well that if there's a counterfeit, all of a sudden, it becomes very obvious. It just pops out at you. See, the real thing, and then there's a fake thing. And you go, oh, wait a minute, something's wrong there. That is an imitation. That is a counterfeit. And when you know the Bible well, the counterfeits just pop out. They just pop. Somebody says something, you go, wait a minute, I don't think that's right. Let me check my Bible. Nope, that's wrong. That's a counterfeit. You got to know your Bible. In fact, you need to be what the Bible calls a Berean. In Acts 17, it says, now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examine the scriptures every day to see if what the Apostle Paul says was true. They didn't even trust the Apostle Paul. Now, they liked him. They weren't being mean about it. They did it with great eagerness. They received the message, and that's awesome. But they went home and said, I just got to make sure that what Paul's saying is right. You should all be that way. You should go home tonight and find out if I was a false teacher. Get your Bible out and check it out. That'd be being a good Berean. You got to know this book. And if you know it, then the fake stuff just pops right out. That's what we need to do. So that's the first thing we need to understand of how to find a false teacher. They teach false truth. Number two, they present a false Jesus. If somebody comes to you and says, hey, we got this new religion, or we got this new teaching, or this greatest thing, and come to this, the best thing you can do is ask them to describe their Jesus to you. Who is Jesus to you or to your religion? Describe him to me. And that will quickly help you discover whether it's a true church, a true teaching, or not. Because there are many, many imitation Jesuses out there. Many Jesuses that are not the Jesus in the Bible. They're saying things about Jesus that he never said about himself, and the Bible certainly doesn't speak of. Those are false Jesuses, and we have to be careful. They're impersonators. It's kind of like, you know, impersonating Elvis. I mean, if you believe Elvis is still alive, then maybe he's one of these guys. Will the real Elvis please stand up? Will the real Jesus stand up? Now, we know that's not the real Elvis. Here's another false Jesus. We love this. This is actually Steel Crosswhite as a little kid with his wonderful dad, and he would go places and they would sing Elvis songs. So I asked him if I could have this. Isn't that sweet? No, here's, if you're looking for the real Elvis, you want to find it right here. Here's the real. We found it right there. There it is. Actually, ask that guy to sing and you'll find out that is not the real Elvis. We know who Elvis is and what he sounds like. There's only one, and there's only one Jesus. There's only one. But there are a lot of fakes out there. There are a lot of fake Jesuses. So how do we determine if it's a false Jesus or a true Jesus? Here are just some clues. If you have someone tell you that their Jesus is just one of many gods, then you have the wrong Jesus. It's a false Jesus. If you have someone say that our Jesus wasn't really God or wasn't really man, you got the wrong Jesus, because Jesus was both, fully God, fully man. If someone says, hey, Satan was Jesus' brother, then you thought your brother was bad. This is a bad brother to have. Jesus' brother was not Satan, okay? Jesus created Satan, all right? If Jesus just grew into becoming God, then they've got the wrong Jesus. Jesus has always been God from time past till time eternity. He created everything. He is God. He always has been. If someone says that Jesus has sinned, then that's the wrong Jesus, because our Jesus never sinned. If people say he didn't rise from the dead or he really didn't die, there's a theory out there called the swoon theory, that Jesus was beaten to a bloody pulp, clubbed and beat up and nailed to a cross and was stabbed in the side, didn't have a heartbeat, was pulled off the cross, and yet somehow he rose victoriously because he really didn't die. He was only mostly dead, evidently. That's a false Jesus. What about the true Jesus? Well, we know the true Jesus, and by the way, any of these are things that Jesus never said about himself, but we got to look at the Bible. The incarnation, his incarnation, he left heaven and came to this earth. We know that. The atonement, he lived a perfect life and died a death on the cross for you and I. And salvation, he offers salvation now to anyone who will receive it and repent and turn to Jesus in faith. The substitution, Jesus bore our sins on his back and gave us his righteousness. That's what the Bible says about Jesus. His resurrection, he died, was buried on the third day, rose from the grave victorious, and he's alive today. He ascended into heaven at the right hand of God right now, and he's worthy of our worship and our praise. Amen? Amen. That's the Jesus we serve. It's dangerous to slap a label of Jesus on somebody that isn't the Jesus of the Bible. You don't want to follow somebody that's doing that, because you don't want to end up where they're going to end up. You got to make sure you have the right Jesus. When something is mislabeled, it causes problems. I heard about this week from a friend of mine. He had a buddy that found a full bottle of what said grass fertilizer. And he took it home. He thought, well, I'll take it home. And he sprayed on his grass, but it turns out it was Roundup inside the bottle. It was mislabeled. By the way, don't pick up somebody else's bottle on the side of the road and spray your yard with this. It's not going to end well. So it killed his grass. All his grass is dead. So having dead grass is one thing. Mislabeled containers can cause other problems. This is interesting, by the way. The artist Prince, there's kind of a controversy. He was not known as a drug abuser or alcohol abuser. He just wasn't known to do that. Yet he overdosed on fentanyl. And what they fear happened was that his bottle was mislabeled. That he actually overdosed thinking he was taking a different drug. That's what some people are saying. So it was actually deadly to have a mislabeled bottle. It can be deadly to mislabel someone as Jesus when they're not. It can be spiritually, eternally deadly for people. We got to make sure that we're following the Jesus of the Bible. Skip Heitzig says, Christianity is Jesus Christ. And if he is not who he claimed to be, then we don't have a Christian faith. If you're worshiping a different Jesus, then you are not part of the Christian faith. We identify false teachers first because they present a false truth. They also preach a false Jesus. And they, thirdly, preach a false gospel. It says in verse 2 that these false teachers will have a big following, a huge following. People will like them. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. Truth of the gospel. They bring a different gospel. Oftentimes, here's what happens. There's one of two things when somebody brings a false gospel. The first thing is they'll add something to the gospel. They'll add something. They'll say that, and it makes it harder to enter the kingdom of God. So they'll say things like, you know, you got to work harder. You have to get baptized the right way. You have to go to the right church. You have to do this list of things. That's a false gospel. That's adding to the gospel. Other false gospels subtract it. Just make it easy. Say, you know, God loves everybody's going to heaven. Don't worry about it. Doesn't matter who you worship, where you worship, what you worship. We're all going to the same place. It's all as long as we're nice to each other, right? As long as we kind of have the same goals. It doesn't really matter, does it, if you worship Jesus or this other God? Does it matter?
Yes,
it matters. So false gospels will either add something or take away something. Oftentimes what they do is leave out things like repentance, hell, Jesus, and faith. We know that salvation is by grace alone, through Christ alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. Amen. Listen, the Bible's very clear. Matthew 7, Jesus said this. Jesus' words, red letter words. He says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But narrow and small is the gate that leads to life, and very few find that. I was standing outside 5 months ago talking with a new person, and we had a good conversation. I was asking her about her spirituality, and it turns out she believed that everyone just goes to heaven, that she was a really good person. God was going to let her into heaven because she was a good person. I talked to her about that, standing right outside the door, and she just wouldn't believe it. No, everybody goes. It's just, God's going to let, I'm fine. And she didn't know Jesus. I said, well, hey, listen, I just want to share a verse with you that Jesus said. I said, more people are going to go to hell than go to heaven. And I began to share that with her, and she got offended that I would share that with her. In fact, she went home that night, wrote me a long email, was not happy with me at all, and said that she was going to pray for me every day that I would understand the love of God, because I clearly didn't understand it. And here's the ironic thing, is that I shared it with her because I do understand the love of God. And the love of God doesn't mean anything if you and I just get to go to heaven for no reason whatsoever. Why did he die then? Why did he die? It's narrow to get to heaven. It's wide. It's a huge road. That's what the Bible tells us. You know, it says in Galatians 1:9, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Let him go to hell forever. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying. Somebody preaches a different gospel, let him go to hell forever. Again, Paul was fired up here. Now we got Peter and Paul, both kind of fired up, okay? They're defending the truth. This is the truth. You want to know what gospel Paul preaches right here? Read it, it's in here. You're not going to find it in any new books that have a new gospel. If it's new, it's not true. It's right here, okay? Compare it to this. Get your Bible out and find out if it's here. And, you know, one other quick illustration. This happens to me all the time. If I'm at a funeral, I hear this all the time, and it drives me a little bit crazy. Again, I don't know people's hearts, but some funerals I've been to, I know that dude never was interested in Christ except to use him as a swear word. He never, you know, he never wanted to go to church. He never wanted to read his Bible. He had no desires, no spiritual hunger whatsoever. Again, I don't know people's hearts. But the pastor, whoever's leading, well, he's in a better place now. And I honestly think, oh, what gives you the right to say that? By what authority are you even saying that? And maybe he is, because again, I don't know. And my prayer would be, oh God, that somehow they came to know you and I'm going to trust that that's true. But without any authority whatsoever, oh, because they died, they're in a better place. Is that what happens? Not according to Jesus, most people, it is not a better place. It's a false teaching to say, oh, they're just in a better place. Why? They're not suffering anymore. Oh, I bet right now they wish they could suffer with cancer again. Because the suffering they're experiencing, or it could be, is way worse than that. That's what lights a fire under me. I don't want people to go to hell. Like Nick Vujicic always says, I want to stand at the gates of heaven and hell, and I want to redirect traffic. They preach a false gospel. That's the third thing. Here's the fourth thing. Well, let me quote this. Men do not give authority to truth. Truth gives authority to men. So don't just say things. Make sure that the Bible, that you're backing up what the Bible says. Finally, they produce false fruit. This is the fourth way to identify. And we'll talk more about this next week. There's four things we see in this section about false teachers. The false fruit, the shameful ways. That means their actions. You look at their actions. Oftentimes they're greedy. You know, this is Jim Baker and Tammy Baker of Praise the Lord. They were convicted of fraud and conspiracy and illegally bilking millions of dollars from their followers. He went to jail. I think he's actually repented. Billy Graham came alongside him once he got out of jail and gave him a place to stay, gave him a car, brought him to church. I thought that was very big of Billy Graham. I don't know what Tammy's up to, but we know so many TV preachers that are known for their guilt, right? I mean, their greed. What else do we know? Oh, well, when somebody says it's not about the money, it's about the money. Okay, just remember that. Just remember that from H.L. Mencken. Sensual. How many evangelical leaders have fallen to sexual immorality? I can't list them all. False teachers. They're secretive. They will secretly introduce things. They won't let people see their books. They won't allow criticism. There's no accountability with these guys. They run their own show. They're exploitive. And if you've watched, even if 10% of what Leah Remini, who was in the Church of Scientology for a lot of years, she has a show on Netflix, even if 10% is, then this church is very exploitive. There's no doubt about it. Some false teachings going on there. So that's the fruit that they'll have. So let me ask you a question as we move on here. Are you allowing false teachers to influence your life? It could be on social media. Could be TV preachers, blogs. Could be podcasts or your Netflix or YouTube or Instagram. You need to stay away. Compare what they say to the Bible, and if it's false, stay away from it. You got to know this book first, though. So that's how we spot a false teacher. What's their fate? What's going to happen to them? Peter has some strong words, and if you're following them, I pray to God you don't end up where they are. You need to stop following before that happens. What is the fate of false teachers? We'll just finish up with these verses. There's a number of them. We'll read 4 through 12 here. First of all, watch this. There's five examples that Peter gives right here. Three of them are examples of people or groups that are going to be judged, and two are good examples of people that were rescued, okay? See if you can pick them out. Little clue, I highlighted them for you so you can pick them out. Okay. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on his ungodly people, wait a minute, did I skip ahead? Okay. All right, sorry. If he condemned the cities, wait a minute here, where am I at? 4, 5. Yeah, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what was going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, verse 8, for that righteous man, living among them day after day, was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. Verse 10. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature or flesh and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger, more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. But these men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. And like beasts, they too will perish. Hello, that's some strong talking by Peter. Those are some strong words. So two things I want to pick up here as we finish up. The fate of false teachers. First of all, we see that God will judge the unrighteous, including false teachers. Again, the narrow path, Matthew chapter 7. And especially false teachers who come into God's church with a label of, I'm a Christian, I'm teaching from the Bible, and they teach false doctrines. There is a place reserved for them, Peter says, and it's not a good place. Who are the three examples that he used? He used fallen angels, the ancient world, Sodom and Gomorrah. The fallen angels, when Satan fell, he took a third of the angels with him, and they fell from heaven because they were in heaven with God. It couldn't have been more perfect, and they rejected his authority. We don't like you. And God kicked them out of heaven. The ancient world. At one point in Genesis, God says the whole world, every thought of man is only evil all the time. And God, they rejected God and his plan, and they rejected his leader, who was Noah. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah, there was sexual perversion, and they rejected God's standards, and God judged them. Think of it. If God didn't spare these three, then he won't spare false teachers and those who follow. Make sure you're not following a false teacher. So, first of all, we see he judges the unrighteous, but he saves the righteous, and that's the narrow path. There's two exceptions that we see in these verses, Noah and Lot. Now, Noah and Lot were definitely not great character studies as far as being really godly guys. I mean, they had their issues, there's no doubt about it, yet they trusted God. Noah preached a narrow message, was proved right, and God saved him and seven others, eight in all. Lot ran out of Sodom. He was living there, but God had warned him. The angels actually had to come and start dragging him. But he went, and God rescued Lot. So God knows how to save the righteous, and God will judge the unrighteous. Note, both Noah and Lot escaped judgment because they trusted God, even if it was begrudgingly for Lot. He ultimately trusted God, and others rejected God and believed the false message. So, question. Are you following people who are under God's judgment? Are you following false teachers? Do you know? Do you read your Bible? So we've looked at a spot, false teachers. What is the fate of false teachers? And next week we're going to talk about how to avoid them. But right now, let me give you two practical applications very quickly here. First thing you need to understand is that you have to reject the lies of false teachers. You have to reject the lies. Don't listen to them anymore. Reject them. Stay away from them. Recognize what's false. Do they teach a false truth? Do they preach a false Jesus? Do they preach a false gospel? Do they produce bad fruit in their lives? Then don't follow them. And secondly, we need to believe the truth in the Bible. That's what I need to remind you of, just like Brian did last week. I need to remind you that you need to know this book and trust this book. And you can trust it. If you want to discern lies from truth, then you need to know this book. Study this book. The lies will pop right out at you, just like a mustache on a $20 bill. So, have you repented and trusted in Christ alone for your salvation? Have you done that? That's the most important truth that we can preach right now. Do you believe in Christ, like these people that got baptized? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Yes. Are you trusting any other man or institution for your salvation? No. It's in Christ and Christ alone. If you don't know him, you can know him tonight. Come find me or talk to some of the connections. We'd love to share more with you about how to become a Christian, how to become a born-again, Bible-believing Christian who understands the truth. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you so much for the six baptisms and the many baptisms that we're going to have tomorrow. In fact, if you're sitting here and you think, I wanted to get baptized, come back tomorrow. We've got two more services of baptisms. You're welcome to join. Lord, I pray for anyone here that doesn't know you yet, that maybe has been deceived or led astray by false teachers or false prophets. It's so easy to do, God. It looks so good on the outside. It looks like the real deal until you dig in and find out, wait a minute, this truth leads to death. God, I pray that you would protect everyone in our church, everyone that's listening to this message. Help them discern what's true and what's not. Help us to always follow the true Jesus, to know our Bible, to be Bereans. Help us, Lord Jesus, I pray, and you would protect us from the false teachers that are all around us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.